So, who here feels like they belong somewhere? Either to a family, a community, some organization, or a country even. Raise your hand if you feel like you belong somewhere. Interesting. Okay, now raise your hand if you'd like to belong somewhere, but don't quite feel it or somehow feel excluded. That's tough. A sense of belonging seems really important in our lives, doesn't it? Feeling of being at home in the world, being part of something larger, and feeling safe to be yourself and take risks. Now, studies show that belonging is actually one of the key markers of happiness in life, together with things like a sense of purpose, mastery, self-determination, and love. But that's for another sermon. And I didn't realize it until I started thinking about it, that the longing for belonging has actually been a primary driver in my life, and maybe some of yours too. Like many of us who are the products of unwanted pregnancies, it's hard to begin life with a sense of not belonging, of not being wanted. So for whatever reason, I never felt that I truly belonged in my birth family. And then, as some of you know, I was raised in many different countries, and try as I might to feel at home, I always felt like an outsider. Growing up in Germany for the first 9 years of my life, I didn't belong because I was American. And then I lived in England from the ages of 9 to 18, and I didn't belong there because I was too German and couldn't be anything but a foreigner. And then I spent a lot of time in France growing up as a child, and there I was just thought of as a nice English girl. And then when I came to America for college, I was just considered a generic European. So there's no country where I truly feel like I belong. I've always been culturally and linguistically an outsider. I'm not really a native of any country. Some of you might identify with that feeling. But some of these experiences of not belonging have been profound for me in my life. As I mentioned, I moved to England when I was 9, and I was severely bullied on several occasions as I made my transition into that culture. When I first arrived and went to elementary school, a lot of the little boys would come up to me and go, "Heil Hitler!" As you can imagine, as a 9-year-old little girl, that felt shocking and uncomfortable. So I worked really hard to get rid of my German-American accent and try to belong to this culture. But it was hard moving from Germany to England at the beginning of adolescence, as you can imagine. So I tried to lose any trace of a foreign accent and began to talk like them and drink tea and eat biscuits like them and shepherd's pie and all these sort of English things. And then I watched the same TV shows they did, and I listened to Supertramp and Top of the Pops. And I hung out with a group of about 6 girls in middle school who were my dear friends. And I felt like I'd arrived, I'd finally cracked the code of belonging. We laughed and we told stories together, and we had sleepovers and played sports and acted in plays together. And I was so happy because I finally was one of them. I belonged. I fit in. Those days of being an outsider seemed to be over. And then one day, about 2 years into my days of middle school, one of the leaders of the group took a dislike to me and started systematically turning the other girls against me. Now, I never knew what I did to incur her disdain. I couldn't figure it out. But joyous friendships turned into hate notes passed to me in the middle of class. Recess with my friends turned into isolated times wandering around the playground alone. carefree laughter turned into secret trips to the bathroom to cry my eyes out before I collected myself to be back in class. An excitement about going to school turned into daily dread, in which I suffered from paralyzing stomach pains each morning before going to school. Some of my most formative years of childhood turned into years of fear and profound loneliness. I never knew what was coming at me next at school. This clique made up stories about me, and they developed a hate campaign and found ways to degrade me publicly and to divorce me as a friend. They actually handed me divorce papers. Yeah. So I was shaken to my very core. For 2 to 3 years, my life became unsafe, unkind, extremely isolated, and profoundly difficult to face. And you can see, I still feel that today. I was shunned and ostracized. And there was no support at home. My family just pushed me to get over it already. So the reason I share this story is not to have you feel sorry for me, but because it was impactful and shaped me for many years to come. I lost my confidence for a long time. It became hard to trust groups of people, particularly women. For decades, I worked hard not to stand out in any way so that I wouldn't be targeted. And here I am, a minister. Took a while, though, to get there. It was hard to feel a sense of belonging, as I knew that that sense could so easily disappear. But I also tell this story because I imagine that there might be others out here among you today who've undergone some experience of exclusion that has shaped you. Some way in which you were cast out of a group, a community, a school, or a religion. Of course, I realize now that, unlike many others who are bullied, I had the privilege of being able to hide in a crowd. You couldn't tell me apart by the color of my skin, or that I was wearing a hijab, or that I was in a wheelchair, or had an indistinct gender identity. I could blend in, which some of our beloveds among us cannot. We come into this world vulnerable, defenseless beings, needing to know that we belong and are welcomed for our safety alone. And if our original attachment with our mother's figures is in any way broken, we may feel a great longing for attachment, for connection, and for belonging. And that longing for belonging may never leave us. It may lead us into addictions, searching for that sense of connection. It may lead us to making bad relationship choices, or to joining a cult, or a community where we feel we belong, but that is harmful to us or to others. In fact, many people who join extremist groups or gangs do so purely out of a desire to belong somewhere. And these groups are really good at answering that need for belonging. Whether or not their motives are good, they help people feel part of a tribe. And they do that really effectively these days on the internet, so that a lonely person can easily find community online. Some of these dangerous groups are the cost of longing to belong. Because our human need to belong is so tribal, it's so instinctive, so embedded in who we are, that it can override all sense. That's what we see in our current culture a lot, a desperate desire to belong to something that we believe in, a longing that can make us blind to facts or to truth, simply so that we can feel connected to a group. In fact, I often think this longing for belonging is also the root of spiritual longing and spiritual seeking. In my longing for belonging, spiritual traditions seemed to offer some of what I was looking for, a sense of community, a sense of morals, and a sense of home. So I became a spiritual seeker. After that traumatic bullying episode in my teens in England, I was looking for nice kids anywhere I could find them. And I happened to find them in the Born Again Baptist Church in England, where I was really inspired by the story of Jesus because he was an outsider. But he persisted with a value-led life. But then after a while, the dogma just didn't feel right to me. And the idea of damning non-Christians felt harmful and not in line with what Jesus was actually teaching. So I explored and I traveled around the world and I had my own eat, pray, love story. And I explored Hinduism. And I learned the harmonium and chanting, and I loved the ritual. But the culture just didn't quite feel like my own, so I never had that true sense of belonging. And so I explored Buddhism, and I loved the Buddhist precepts, and I loved the discipline and meditation. But again, it didn't feel authentically like me, like I could take it on fully. And so then I came back to America, and I explored New Age religions, and I found a lot of what I was looking for, but that science and reason were somehow missing for me. And though I could see beautifully how these paths were working for others, they just weren't quite the right fit for me. Now the poet John O'Donohue says, "When the outer cultural shelters are in ruins, we need to explore and reawaken the depths of belonging in the human mind and soul. Perhaps the recognition of the depth of our hunger to belong may gradually assist us in awakening new and unexpected possibilities of community and friendship." And that's what happened. I didn't feel like I really belonged anywhere until I discovered the unexpected possibility and wide embrace of Unitarian Universalism. That's when I truly found home. And I know some of you share that feeling with me. In this faith where many others have found belonging because of its openness and freedom, a faith which allows you to integrate the teachings from all other religions and see what works for you, a faith which invites in the outsider. A faith which welcomes you exactly as you are and encourages you in your exploration and growth as a human. A faith which honors your answers to life's big questions and prods you lovingly to be more than you ever thought you could be. My journey with Unitarian Universalism has helped me learn that unless I belong to myself, unless I belong to myself and truly act with integrity and deep connection to my inner being, then it's hard to belong anywhere else. The author and psychologist Brené Brown says it this way: "True belonging is the spiritual practice of believing in and belonging to yourself so deeply that you can share your most authentic self with the world and find sacredness in being both a part of something and standing alone in the wilderness. True belonging doesn't require you to change who you are. It requires you to be who you are." Let me say that again. True belonging doesn't require you to change who you are. It requires you to be who you are. So I invite you to think about it. Where can you be authentically who you are and risk belonging with your whole being. For me, it's in this fellowship. It's in this faith. And it's with my family. Not that it isn't challenging some days, but overall, these are the places that I can bring my full self and be accepted. So how about for you? Is there a faith community, a college or a company, a family or a country that you call home? Is there a group where you can be utterly yourself and feel accepted for who you are, warts and all? Now, some belong to political parties or sports teams, to religions, gyms, cults or clubs. Some belong to women's or men's or LGBTQ groups or the 12-step groups. We long to belong somewhere, somewhere that we can be ourselves, somewhere we're accepted and even celebrated for who we are. Somewhere we can find others who understand us, who might even think alike or look alike or do things alike. Somewhere people see us and support us and want to walk through life's journey with us. Somewhere we can be mirrored and appreciated for who we are. Most of us go through life seeking that kind of belonging somewhere. Now, that sense of belonging can be surprisingly banal. My husband and son, for example, are great 49ers fans, football fans. And my son told me the story the other day of when they were in Seattle airport together and they came across someone who was wearing a 49ers shirt and a 49ers cap, and they felt like they had this secret society in the midst of enemy territory. The Seattle team, I think, I've forgotten their name now, but they're the enemies of the 49ers. And they felt like they had this sense that they cared about each other just because they supported the same football team. And I also remember my father-in-law, Ron Gwynn, who was a minister too, a Presbyterian minister. But his life was entirely structured around the University of Texas football team. Their house was decorated in the team's rusty shade of brown and orange, and their year and travel was scheduled around the team's activities. And he wore a large UT ring, and every conversation somehow returned to UT football. Now, being a diehard fan gave him a sense of identity and purpose. He knew who his friends were and that they'd have similar interests. And ministry, I have to confess, sometimes took a back seat to college football, at least on Saturdays. But what is that drive for belonging? Is it that we feel safer amidst people with whom we feel we belong? Is it that we feel seen? Perhaps we feel mirrored being with others who speak the same language or belong to the same organization we do or support our team. Some part of us is reflected back to us. We can actually let our hair down. We can be ourselves. We can relax. We can take risks. Yeah, you can let your hair down, Matt, even for this. This vast world seems a little cozier, more connected, more intimate and loving when we belong somewhere, doesn't it? We feel at home and less alone on this vast planet. It's no wonder we long to belong. Certainly belonging to this community means that you can count on walking through life with other caring people, right? You know these people show up for you through good times and bad. You know they'll be here to cook you a meal or visit you in hospital or walk with you through grief. You know they'll celebrate your victories as you have a child or a grandchild, as you get a new job or move to a new home. You know they'll see you, watch your children grow, or perhaps even teach them in our religious education classes. They may sing with you or march with you or cry with you or laugh with you. And I encourage you to reach out to one another, my friends. Pick up the phone, email someone sitting near you, make a date to hang out. These are wonderful people who are walking through life with you. Because you know that everyone in this community here is open-hearted and striving to live a more conscious and compassionate life. Because our covenant and our principles ask us to. A life guided by values, a life that aims for the greater good of all, a life guided. What's our life guided by? Thank you. If that's not what I preach every week, what's our life guided by? Love. But how do you know when you belong? How do you know if you're actually included? This summer, I took a course on leadership. And one exercise, the facilitator invited us to get into two groups. The people who identify as the in-group on one side of the room, and the people who are not in the cool or the in-group to stand on the other side. Now, some of the students, including me, had been at this program the year before and knew one another already. And most of the people who had been here the year before went to the in-group side. But I hadn't been close friends with any of those people there from last year. So guess what I did? I immediately assumed, well, I don't belong in the in-group. Where did I feel I belonged? In the out-group. And I confess I stood longingly in the out-group, wishing I could be genuinely part of the in-group, and noticing jealously that some of the newest people even put themselves in the in-group. How dare they? They just arrived and they thought of themselves as in the in-group. And then the facilitator asked several of us to explain why we had chosen our positions. And I explained that because I wasn't invited to be part of the in-group, I didn't want to impose myself on them. I think I was too afraid of being rejected. I just didn't feel I belonged. And then she asked one of the new people who'd put herself in the in-group to explain why she thought of herself as in without even knowing people. And she explained that that was the group she wanted to be in. And so she simply decided to join them. What? You mean you get to do that? Now, you might be surprised by my blind spot in this area, but it was only in that moment that I realized I had a choice. I could choose to decide if I was in, whether or not people welcomed me in. And that's what this woman had done. By deciding that she belonged, she was quickly welcomed into the fold. And suddenly, all these years of self-imposed exile, all these years of thinking of myself as an outsider, came crumbling down around me. All these years of waiting to be invited in, or earning that privilege, or having a real sense of belonging, seemed so wasted. I realized in that moment that I can choose to whom I want to belong, whether or not there's an invitation. Because ultimately, my friends, we only belong to ourselves. And we create the reality of our communities and our sense of belonging by how we show up. Now, of course, I'm aware that some clubs And some religions and some groups specifically include people. But who would want to belong to them anyway, right? That's not us. Maya Angelou, one of my greatest heroines, says it this way. You only are free when you realize you belong no place. You belong every place. Belonging is a choice. It's a choice to open our hearts and claim our place in this universe. A universe where we all belong. I've put a reflection question in our order of service, and I invite you to go into coffee hour and ask each other, where do you choose to belong? Remember, true belonging doesn't require you to change who you are. It requires you to be who you are and claim your place in the universe. So join me this month, won't you, in empowering yourself around belonging? Choose to belong wherever you'd like to belong. But first and foremost, belong to yourself. That's our spiritual task this month. Find a deep connection to yourself, and then find where you wish to belong and include yourself. Share yourself. Give the gift of yourself. My beloveds, may it be so.